Amen. Do you believe that He is big enough for your situation? You know, I talk to Christians, people who serve the Lord a long time, and they have situations, or sometimes they have people that they've prayed for, and they just kind of have an attitude, well, they're too hard. They're never going to get saved. They're never going to come to the Lord. There's no hope for them. Well, with that kind of faith, I would say you're exactly right. If you don't believe it, if you don't have confidence in a God that can do anything and can change any situation, I believe that He can. Praise God. Amen. Let's read in the book of Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 and verse number 4. We have been, for the last couple of weeks, talking about the harvest, talking about, using the harvest and agriculture and these many different biblical examples of farming and what it means. Today we're going to talk about the seed, the sower, and the soil. We probably won't get through it all, so we'll finish up tonight, likely. But today we're talking about seeds, sower, and soil. From Luke chapter 8, we're going to start reading in verse number 4. Got a little bit of a feedback or something up here. Don't know what it is. Luke chapter 8 and verse 4. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. The sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. When he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said unto you, "It is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. These have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Amen. Now this is, of course, one of the parables of Jesus. And when you read through the Gospels, there are many, many parables. Jesus used parables. The apostles used parables. The prophets used parables. There are probably around 50, I think, parables of Jesus alone, and then many other dozens of other parables that were used. The word parable really just means comparison, that you would put something up beside another thing and you would compare it. And Jesus used parables. And sometimes it was a story, sometimes it was just an object. Sometimes he would say, "See that mountain?" Or, "See that fig tree?" Or, and he would point out certain things to help them to understand a spiritual truth. So Jesus would use parables to make the unfamiliar more familiar. He would use a common thing to relate an uncommon spiritual truth. And of course, his goal was to convey truth, was to get the truth into the hearts of his listener. And that should be the goal of every preacher of the gospel, every teacher, every one of us for that matter. We want there to be communicated the truth of the gospel, and we want people to understand. There have been many times when I have been sitting or maybe somewhere listening to a preacher, and I'm waiting for them to make the application. They will tell the story. They'll go through all these different points of the scripture, and I'm waiting. Okay, now make the application. Make the application. And by that, I'm just meaning, what does that mean to me? What application is that to my life right now? Otherwise, it's just a Bible story. But if you apply it to my life right now, how does it answer my questions? How does it help me in my present life? That's what is powerful about the proclamation of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is how does this speak to me now, personally? How does it apply to my life? Sometimes we'll use the term, bring it home. Whenever a preacher or a teacher begins to deal with a truth, when we say bring it home, we're saying make sure that you can help me to understand the message of the gospel. And in a time such as you and I are living in right now, that is a time of great spiritual darkness, a lot of people, especially the younger generation, I'm talking about people that are not raised up in church. Our kids, raised up in church, they have a good knowledge of the Word of God, and I'm grateful that they do. But when you just look at the average young person, even young adult, millennials today, don't know much about the Bible. What they do know is that the media makes fun of it, that television makes fun of it, music makes fun of it, and preachers, teachers, church, the Bible, preaching, all these things are a point of ridicule instead of something to be respected and to learn the valuable spiritual truths. And so Jesus taught in parables because he wanted that generation of people, who most of them were farmers or at least familiar with agriculture, he wanted them to understand and to get it. And they would bring it home to them, and they would understand these spiritual truths. So in this particular post-Christian generation that you and I are living in right now, it's not an easy thing to convince men and women and young people because the Word of God has been misrepresented, sometimes completely skewed. But the Bible is the Word of God, and it is an important message. It is the most important message that must be conveyed to the world today. And so it's our calling, our responsibility, to give them the Word of God. Amen. We must give them God's Word. Amen. And help them to understand the Word of the Lord. Some of us who've been around church all of our lives, you're looking at me like, what are you talking about? Because you've been around it all your life, and so you get it. You understand it. But there are a lot of people that are out there that we want to reach for Jesus Christ, that when you talk to them about spiritual truths, they're not going to get it. They're not going to understand it. It isn't going to make a lot of sense to them. And so your job and my job is to convey the truth of the gospel to them in a way that they can understand it. Jesus used parables. Jesus used common examples to bring home these important spiritual truths. And so however and by whatever means that you must convey the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ to a world that needs to hear it. Remember there in Nehemiah, when Ezra steps on the scene, the wall has been rebuilt. Nehemiah is a leader there. Ezra steps up and builds a platform, he builds a podium, a pulpit, and the people all gather together. And the Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 8, so they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. Those words are important words. He read in the book of the law distinctly. He helped them with clarity to understand the word of the Lord. He gave them the sense of the word. He explained it to them. He didn't just give them the Word of God, but He explained the Word of God to them and caused them to understand the reading of the Word of the Lord. So an age when people are they're intelligent, they're educated, they know a lot of things, but when it comes to spiritual terms, a lot of people are not really very knowledgeable of the things of God's Word. Our job is preach the truth, declare the Word of the Lord to this generation that may not know how to speak your Bible language, but your responsibility, my responsibility, is to take the Word of the Lord and to proclaim it in a way that it can be clarified and understood by the average person. Amen? Amen. It's a big job in a world like we live in right now when people don't know much about the Bible. Jesus gave this parable, the parable of the sower, described the sower, the seed, and the soil, the types of soil. We'll talk about that later, but let's talk just a minute about the seed, because whenever he gives the explanation, he says, the seed is the Word of God. The seed is the Word of the Lord. Amen. You know, we hold within our possession God's Word that has been preserved down through the generations. There have been many who have tried to completely destroy it, stamp out the truth of God's Word. There have been kings and entire nations that have tried to destroy the Word of the Lord. But God's Word has been preserved miraculously in many cases down through the generations. And you and I have God's Word within our own possession. What a miracle that is, that we have the Word of the Lord. God's Word has a supernatural origin. It comes from God. It comes from the Lord. 2 Peter 1:21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of the living God spoke, and it was filtered through all these different individuals that God inspired them and touched their life. And they wrote and were and spoke as the Spirit of God gave to them the words. It is inspired of God. It is comes down from God himself and is filtered through all of these different personalities. It was all a part of the plan of God, that God would use someone like Amos, who was a farmer, and he used someone like Peter, who was a fisherman. Both of them pretty much commoners, not that educated. But he also used people like Paul, who was very educated, and Isaiah, who also was very much trained and learned. And so he used a lot of different, about 40 different personalities to write the Word of the Lord as the Holy Ghost inspired them. They spoke and they wrote the Word of the Lord. Praise God. Amen. His Word has a supernatural origin. It was God breathed. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It is profitable. God's Word will do you good. God's Word will benefit any man, any person will be benefited from the Word of the Lord. His Word is eternal. Matthew 24. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word shall not pass away. There's nothing you can do to stop, to hinder, or to try to destroy the Word of the Lord, because there is an eternal commitment, covenant from God, that His Word is eternal and it will never, ever pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the Word of the Lord is eternal. Now, I'm just going through this just to remind you of the power of this seed. The power of the seed of God's Word. Forever, O Lord, thy Word is settled in heaven. Glory to God. And so we have His Word, the seed, and the unlimited potential of the seed of God's Word. But the seed has to be sown for it to realize its potential. The seed is really weak until it is sown. A seed left to itself can be picked up by a bird and crushed. A seed and left to its own out in the sun can be destroyed completely by the sun. If it's just laid out on a stone out in the sun, the seed can be consumed and destroyed. It's weak until it is sown. That's why we have a preaching service. That's why we have Sunday school. That's why that we have times when we gather together in the house of the Lord. Because when the word of the Lord goes forth, then it can potentially change lives. Amen. So we preach the word of God. We teach the word of God. We emphasize God's word because of the power and the influence. It's weak when left to itself, but it's powerful when it is sown into the hearts and the lives of people. Amen. The seed has power when it is planted in the hearts of people. So whenever you witness to someone, talk to someone about the Lord, sure. You be kind to them. You talk to them, you know, about whatever's going on. It's a rainy day, or how's the kids, or, you know, that's fine. Break the ice, but get to the point. Break the ice with them, but get to the point. Leave them with the truth of God's word. Your words, while they might be encouraging, they might be helpful, they might make a difference, but we're talking about the seed of the word of God that is supernatural power that's been preserved by God down through the generations. It is forever settled in heaven. This is the seed of the word of God. And once it is planted into the hearts of people, it is great power to change their life. Amen. So make sure that you are a person as a witness that you proclaim the word of the Lord and you give to them God's word. Amen. And understand the power of it. Isaiah 55:11, it says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. It has to be, first of all, planted. It has to be preached, taught. It has to be declared. It has to be deposited in the hearts of people for it to have its potential, for it to be able to bear fruit. It has to be sown in the hearts of people. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereinto I sent it. God's word has power. But you need to speak his word. You need to communicate his word. You need to give the word of God to people as the answer to the problem of their life. If they're sick in body, then you need to give them the word of the Lord, and that lets them know that he is the healer. Our God is a healer. Give them the word of the Lord that promises that if you pray the prayer of faith, that he will save the sick. Give them the word of the Lord. That word has power to change their life and the circumstance that they are in. Amen. Whatever the predicament that they might be in, the people that are lost and don't know Jesus, they don't know the Lord, they need to hear the word of the Lord. They need to understand that without Christ, that they're hopelessly lost. They need to know the word of the Lord that condemns sinners but gives hope to that person who puts their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hebrews 4:12, it says, for the word of God is quick. It's alive. It's a seed. It's alive. Amen. It is quick. It means it's living. It's powerful. The word is a word that, from which we get our, it's the Greek word energes, which we get our word, our English word energy. It just means alive and active. It is active. So whenever the seed of the word of the Lord is planted in the hearts and lives of people, it is sharp, or it is alive, and it's actively moving and working. It's not dead and dormant. It's the word of the Lord that has potential to change people's lives. Praise God. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the hearts of people. Amen. Sometimes people have a hard shell and you can't seem to penetrate that. They don't seem interested in spiritual things, but the word of God is sharp. It's alive It is like a two-edged sword. It can pierce through all that outer hardness, all that outer resistance. It pierces through. It gets through to the heart. It gets through to the motivations, to the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word of the Lord has the power to penetrate that outward shell that looks like they're not interested in God or the things of the Lord. But when you preach and declare the word of the Lord, it has the power to penetrate and to reach their heart. Glory to God. Oh, the power is in that seed of God's word. Amen. That's the power that can change people's lives. You know, we can have an evangelistic event. We can invite people to church. We can do a lot of different things to try to influence people to do better, to live for God. But it's the word of God that's alive, that is sharp, and it can bring about transformation in the lives of people. It is a living, that seed is a living, powerful source from God. Amen. And the word of God, that seed is the word of the Lord. I was reading that at the university in Tel Aviv over there in Israel, 12 years ago, they were excavating in an area they found a bunch of old seeds. They took them back to the university, and now there is a 12-year-old palm tree that was grown from 2,000-year-old seeds that were found, and it's now a flourishing tree that is growing from a seed that had laid buried in a bag for 2,000 years in a dark, dark place. Once it was brought out and exposed to the sun and exposed to moisture and was nurtured and taken care of, now it's a palm tree. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There is power in the seed of God's word. So as evangelists, like we're all to be, make sure that you proclaim the word of the Lord. You say, I don't know what to say. Well, he'll give you the words to say. Read the word of God. Be a student of the word of God, and he'll give you words, and he'll give you a verse of scripture that you can share, that you can give to them, that will be alive and quick and will penetrate their heart and will bring them to that place that they understand that they have a need for God. Glory to God. The seed is a word of the Lord. Amen. Let's talk a minute about the sower, since I've got 10 minutes left. The sower. We know that ultimately Christ is the sower. And all through the Gospels, Jesus is the sower. He is a little bit, he's in a little boat, just a little bit out from the shore. And he docks the boat there. And he teaches the multitudes. There's so many people there. I don't know. That's probably where he gives the parable of the sower, was from that little boat. I don't know. I'm just imagining that off in the distance, there may have been hills where there were farmers plowing the ground and sowing seed. I'm not sure that that's true, but I just know that Jesus would often say, look at that mountain. See that mountain? That mountain can be removed and cast into the sea. By faith, a small amount of faith, it could be destroyed. See that fig tree? And he illustrated what was happening and what would happen to Israel through that fig tree and the curse that fell upon that fig tree. I just want, in my imagination, want to believe that when he taught about the parable of the sower, that there were probably those farmers that were all around there, out in their fields and on the hillsides, breaking up the ground, and there were those that were scattering the seed. They were the sowers. Amen. So wherever he was, anchored in a boat near the shore, maybe on the hillside for the Sermon on the Mount, he was teaching the principles of the kingdom of God. He was the sower that was sowing the seed of God's word. Praise God. That's what Jesus came to do. Luke chapter 4, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus is the ultimate sower and the example of the sower of the word of the Lord. But he has also delegated this great task to you and I, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. To every believer, he has delegated this task. And the Bible says that we are laborers together with God. We are God's husbandry. You're God's building. We are a part of the purpose of God, the plan of God. And a part of that plan is that we take the seed of truth, the seed of God's word that has such potential and power, and we use and we scatter it and we spread the truth of the word of the Lord. We talked a little bit about this Wednesday night when we talked about the fact that when persecution came to the church, it was the intent of the enemy to destroy the church and to stop the message. But it didn't do that at all, because everywhere they went, they were scattered abroad. Everywhere they went preaching the gospel. They went into places they would have never have ever, Philip would have never likely have ever went to Samaria, because the Jews didn't have any dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus did, and so he allowed the pressure to come and the persecution to come, and they were scattered abroad. When they were scattered, it was like the seed of God's word was being scattered in unlikely places, even through trouble and persecution that they went through. Same thing was true when later, after the Samaritan revival, that he is sent down to Gaza, and there is an Ethiopian eunuch, only one man there, but God cares enough for that one that he sends Philip the evangelist down there to again scatter the word of the Lord in unlikely places. Amen. You and I are partners with Jesus. We're partners in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And whenever you, if you want to be used of the Lord, then you share the word of God with people that need Jesus. It's good to invite people to church. We encourage you to do that all the time. And I'm not saying don't invite people to church, because when they do come, then they're going to be in the presence of the Lord and they're going to hear the word of the Lord. That's a good thing to do. But don't get used to just inviting people to church. Ask the Lord to help you to be a sower of the word of God. To sow, to plant the seed of God's word in the hearts of the... Some people will never walk in the door of the church. Some of them will never respond to your invitation. They're not interested in church. They're not interested in anything religious. But if you can sow the seed of truth in their heart, then there's power. There's potential for an awakening to take place in their heart. Because you're planting something that's quick, it's alive, it's active. It's going to be working and moving in them. It's going to pierce their heart. It's going to deal with their heart. That word of the Lord is going to have power. Be a sower of the word of the Lord. The term that you use in radio or TV broadcasting, that term broadcasting, comes from, it's an agricultural term. It comes from the broadcasting of seeds. The scattering of seeds. They have hand machines now that are called broadcasters. And there's sophisticated machinery that are large broadcasters of the seed. And so whenever we're declaring the word of the Lord on radio or whatever media means that we might be using, we are broadcasting the seed of God's word. Amen. We are declaring it in uncommon places, unlikely places. You'd never know who's listening. You'd never know who it might be touching or who it might be influencing, because you are declaring the word of the Lord. And God has called every one of us to be broadcasters of his seed. Amen. To declare the word of the Lord. But we do have the problem of the soil. I'm going to talk about that tonight in the service tonight. So I hope that you'll come back. You have the problem of the different types of soils and the receptivity of people, and what can we do about that, and how can we allow, be used of the Lord to break through to the hearts and the lives of people. But God's word is the seed, and you and I have been commissioned as sowers of the word of the Lord. So let's go forth sowing. Let's go forth bearing precious seed. Amen. The Bible says when we do, we'll doubtless return. That's my favorite word in that verse, doubtless. When you go forth weeping, bearing precious seed, you will doubtless come again, bearing your sheaves with you. Praise God. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful potential that there is, Lord, in just declaring the word of God. And I thank you, Lord, that you can prepare the hearts of people to hear the truth. And you can use us, Lord, as a sower, as a broadcaster, somebody who declares the word of the Lord everywhere we go, that we let people know the word of God. Lord, help us to see the potential of it, to know the power of your word, and to declare it to a generation that needs to hear the truth. Oh, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.